Last Sunday we were talking of the shame of America. And I knew when I started last Sunday morning that I just certainly wouldn't have time to finish all the notes that I had. So turn with me over to Romans 10 first and read a little of the scripture in God's Word regarding His plan and His purposes upon the earth for His people Israel and then also for the rest of the nation. In Romans 10, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And this is literally true today. You know from your civil government and from your regular political authorities and also the religious authorities, everyone is trying to do everything in every way except God's way. Everyone has an idea, and it appears that the government has now arrived at a point where they can take from the people monies to try almost anything. But the one thing they won't try is God's way. And Paul is praying for Israel then, and we find Israel in the same position today. They're trying to go about to establish their own righteousness. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them." In other words, you'll live and die according to that law with no mercy. "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it?" Here's what God's righteousness says, but what saith it? "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." And then he goes on to describe that word of faith. Now the word of faith includes this Bible and the belief in it. But you notice what Paul says, and he's speaking, of course, after the death and resurrection of Christ, "that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now we have two or three different kinds of people around the earth today, including in America. Some think that they can have the Word without a living Christ, and some think they can have a living Christ without the living Word. Most of the preaching today in the denominational churches is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over and over, they'll tell you to come to Christ, believe in Christ, have faith in Christ, but they won't have the Word. And some of the people on the other end of the spectrum say, "Well, let's preach the Word, but Christ isn't important." Well, brother, sister, you can't separate the one from the other, because after all, Christ is the Word made flesh. You cannot take the Word away from Christ and retain the God of Israel, or the Christ that we should know. And he said, Paul says, that this word of faith includes, and it must include of necessity, that Christ died and was raised from the dead. Someone gave me a newspaper clipping this morning, and I have several more of them. And there's a great thrust in all of Christendom today to convince all of the Christian people that the Jewish people really believe in the Bible, and actually their Bible and their faith is the foundation of ours. Paul says, oh no, this is the word of faith, that you believe that Christ was raised from the dead. And that's the one thing they absolutely refuse to believe. They will have nothing to do with it. Verse 11, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." You know why we have the shame of the heathen? Why we have the shame of the Canaanites? Very simply, as a nation and as a people, we have not turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we don't do that, we turn and we get all these other things, and we have this shame we were talking about last week. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek." And remember, these two words are Judean and Hellen. In other words, there's no difference between the Israelite in Jerusalem than the Israelite in the dispersion in Greece. "For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then comes the verses that have to do with what you and I are doing and what must be done as far as the nation of Israel is concerned. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And he's quoting, of course, Isaiah 52 and verse 7, and that verse ends up with saying, preaching that thy God to Zion, that thy God reigneth. And that means the gospel of the kingdom. If you try to preach anything else, it doesn't make any sense to Israel, and it doesn't do anything for Israel. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, Paul concludes, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this word hearing means understanding. It means understanding. Faith cometh by understanding, and understanding by the word of God. As someone once wrote, that heaven was not made for geese. Heaven is made for people who understand the word of God. And remember, Christ said, and he talked to the apostles after he had explained the gospel to them, he says, I no more call you servants, but I call you friends, because the servant knoweth not what his master doeth. Now, if you don't understand the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom, how are you going to be called a friend of Jesus Christ, because you don't know what he's doing? And Paul says you have to have understanding. This Greek word means understanding. And as you realize in reading of Christ speaking, that they hear, those who have ears, let them hear. He meant those who have ears, let them understand. In the book of Proverbs, it says, according to Solomon, in all thy getting, get understanding. And Solomon said that wisdom is the principal thing. Happy is the man who getteth wisdom. How many of you have you ever seen a happy imbecile who was a Christian? It just doesn't make sense. And yet, the general preaching is today that all you have to do is just come up and confess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll change your life and all this kind of stuff. And there's no idea, no instruction, no telling these people to understand the word of God. Listen to it, study it, understand it, read it. And Paul goes through all of these things. He starts out by saying that his prayer was that Israel was to be saved. And he ends up by saying how? Israel is going to have to be saved by the preaching of the Word of God so that they understand it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And America and Israel is not going to be delivered from the shame that they have until they get that faith that comes from the understanding of the Word of God. Most of the friends that I have who are in other Christian denominations, they claim that they have faith. And some of you have people like that. And you can talk to them for as long as you wish, and you can't find out from them a thing that God Almighty is doing upon the earth. They do not see the hand of God in anything that's happening today. They have no understanding of the Scripture. And yet Paul said that faith cometh by understanding, and understanding by the Word of God. Let's turn over to Isaiah, because I want to finish in the book of Isaiah. Well, what you see happening as far as this ministry is concerned, I believe, is a fulfillment of what God has told us in Isaiah 52 of what we're supposed to do. We read this when I started. In Isaiah 52, he says, Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. He says, you put on your garments, there's a day coming when there will be none but believers, Christian people, in you, in Jerusalem and Zion. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. And brother, sister, we're Zion, and brother, sister, we're a captive. We are a captive of all the world and heathen forces, as most of you know. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the ransom to bring Israel out from this captivity and this bondage. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without a cause. We were also in the Assyrian captivity. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name, therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak, behold, it is I. And then comes this verse that Paul quoted in Romans. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Yes, brother, sister, this ministry of Lord's Covenant Church and America's Promise Radio Broadcast, the printing and the tape ministry, is a ministry that we believe and pray is saying unto Zion that God rules in the affairs of men, that all of these things are in the province of God. He is working out His purposes upon the earth to bring to pass the thing that God wants to come to pass. Now, the tragedy is that most ministries see that even similar to this one, of small churches, unless they understand the identity of the Israel people and that God is going to establish His kingdom upon the earth, there isn't a thing they can tell them out of this Bible about the fact that God rules on this earth and is bringing these things to pass. All right, turn over to Zephaniah. I read so much of this scripture. Every one of these prophets tells the same story about the deliverance of Israel from their shame at the end of the age. And everyone tells it so well that there just isn't time to read them all. So I thought I'd read the last chapter of Zephaniah, because he puts it in a manner that we can see it's happening, it's going to come to pass, the great deliverance for his Israel people. After going on the first part here and talking about the other ones that he's going to cut off and so on, in verse 8 he says, Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. It is God's purpose to gather all these nations against this nation so that He can pour out His wrath upon all of them when they come against His Israel people. For then will I turn to the people a pure language that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughters of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. And you know that verse is when Zephaniah, or where he was standing, you know, looking over Ethiopia, of course, was Africa. Looking beyond Africa, he could have seen, or might have seen in vision, this western hemisphere. And he says, from beyond that place will come my suppliants. And suppliants means people who are praying and weeping. And they are the daughter of his dispersed. Yes, the United States of America, and of course our Canadian friends. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doing. I wonder how long it's going to be as America gets more ashamed and more ashamed. And I know there are people who read the things that are happening in the newspapers. They read these conservative and anti-communist publications, and they actually are ashamed of being an American. The things that we are doing in other nations, the things that we are doing in this nation, if we didn't know what God's purpose was, we could really be ashamed. I remember one time I read an article in the U.S. News and World Report some years ago, and brother, sister, I think for the first time, I was actually ashamed of being an American. And this was before I knew the Israel identity. I didn't know we were Israel. You remember the Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba? And I read the U.S. News and World Report article how the radio broadcaster on our Navy carrier kept telling these men ashore, our planes will be over in just a few minutes. Keep fighting. We were going to give them air support. Our planes will be over in just a few minutes. Keep fighting. This went on for hours. And finally, our American radio operator on the American naval aircraft carrier turned right around and he says, no, we're not sending our planes over. We're cutting off all communications. Good luck. And he shut off the radio. And that was the end of it. And we left those men ashore with no hope whatsoever. And, of course, they were captured by Castro. That was a deliberate act on the part of the United States government. And I believe, as I say, at that moment, I was just ashamed that I was an American. Now, we have been doing things like that all over the world, betraying people into the hands of the enemy, including our own people. But God says, in that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. Yes, brother, sister, there's not only going to be a turning of Israel, there's going to be a removing of some certain people out of the nation. God's not going to turn everybody. He's going to turn Israel and remove Israel's enemies. Out of the midst of thee, them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty, and the translation here should read, in my holy mountain. It says, because of, and the margin says, thou shalt no more be haughty in my holy mountain, God's holy nation. And now in verse 14, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. And brother, sister, the things that we fear, the things that we're ashamed of, are not really our shame. All of this poverty and all of this racial strife and all of these other things, and all communism, those are judgments from God because we have accepted the shame of the heathen, those four things we were talking about last Sunday morning, that they did in Canaan. We have accepted these Canaanites into our midst. Someone showed me this new book that's out now. They have actually rewritten a Bible study that is written. One of the authors is a Jewish rabbi, and this is the Bible study that will go in our schools. We're going to be teaching our children Judaism in our schools. And Judaism is the religion of the people who were called the Canaanites or the heathen people in old Palestine. And we're accepting that in all of our land. The rest of this is judgments because of it. This war and all the rest of this are judgments. And God says, the Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He has cast out thine enemy. Yes, when the enemy is gone, God will remove the judgments from Israel. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. And brother, sister, as we go on into another year and look back over what we did the last year, let's not let our hands be slack. God says, in Zion you preach the word that God reigneth, and don't be slack about the Father's business. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. You ever stop to think about that? That God Almighty will be joyful in the day he saves Israel from the hands of their enemies. You know, sometimes we forget that God is a God of emotions also. He's sorrowful and he is joyful. And here he says that God Almighty will joy over Israel in the day that he delivers us from the enemies. We're called the joy of God, you know, Israel my joy, he says in the scriptures. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. And many, many hearts in this land, good people who don't know that we're the Israel people of the Bible, are burdened with all these judgments that are coming upon this nation. There are good people all over this land who have lost sons in Vietnam. Good people, Christian people, born-again believers, and their boys have died in Vietnam. They don't know. They didn't know it's a judgment from God Almighty because they have allowed the heathen, the Canaanites, to come in here and take over this land and preach their heathen doctrine. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that haunteth and gather her that was driven out. That's Israel. and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. You know, I think by the time this is over, we will be actually put to shame in every land in the world, including our own. America and the name of Americans is liable to be a shameful thing before all the heathen, before this is over. But he says, I'll get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. And at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Brother, sister, there's a great day dawning, and we're coming almost upon it. No, let's not be slack, because God is going to remove from this land and from all the lands of Israel the Canaanites and all the heathen people that afflict us in the day of our deliverance. And meanwhile, he says, let not your hands be slack. Keep your hand on the plow. Keep contributing to the kingdom ministries and to the ministers who will teach the truth of God's word to the Israel people. For God says that his word is the only thing that will do anything in Israel. You can do everything under the sun as they're doing today, and it will all come to naught. But God says his word is what will be used to convert Israel. And that's all we ask the Lord to let us do, is to preach it. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this witness in this word that you are gathering all the nations for thy purpose. And thy purpose is the deliverance of Israel, the removal of all those in their midst who afflict us. Father, we ask that you speed the day. Lord, these judgments are a burden. And we know, Lord, that because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that burden and those judgments will be lifted. We thank you, Father, for this great and mighty deliverance that thou hast given us in Jesus Christ. Amen.